Well, will you take your Bibles tonight and turn in the book of Romans to Romans chapter 8. As we continue our study, Firm Foundation, and tonight we're going to be looking at walking in the Spirit. We talked a lot about praying last week. We're going to be talking about the actual doing of the prayers. The walking in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 1, 4, and 14. Now, just a reminder, every time Paul uses the word therefore, it is to remind us what it's there for. And he's just been talking about in Romans chapter 7, being able to overcome the sin that so easily entangles us. And then he says in verse 21, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil's right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'll just help us tonight as we talk about walking in the Spirit. Lord, I know that we all understand that the Holy Spirit is given to us when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and He indwells in us, and He's walking alongside of us. But the key question tonight for all of us is this: are we willing to walk along with Him? Are we willing to listen to Him? Are we willing to see where He wants to lead us? Listen to what He has to say. Are we willing? Paul's saying, I am therefore, I'm not any longer condemned, and neither are anyone who's come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're not condemned, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the bondage of sin and death. Lord, we thank You so much for that. We thank You, Lord. We don't have to live like we used to live before Christ. We can be whole and different and changed and walking in Your presence. And I pray that You'll help us do that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you skip on down to verse 4, it says, "In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to what? According to the Spirit." So Paul is trying to get this across to the church at Rome, that they are, and we are, anyone who is in Christ ought to be walking in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean I walk around all the time with some kind of a spiritual antenna going up, going, do I find the Holy Spirit here? No, what it literally means is living and abiding in the presence of God in such a way that the first inclination of our heart is not our heart, but His. You see, if we have an inclination of our own heart, it's typically not a good inclination, because it's always motivated by self or the things around us. It's motivated by temporal things. But what Paul is trying to say is, listen, we've got to get to a point where we begin to walk in accordance to the Holy Spirit. If you look on down to verse 14, it says, and let me pick up in, I'm going to start in verse 12. "Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." So I want us to see tonight, as we look through this outline today, some things that Paul is saying, and the reason that he's saying it the way that he is. He says, first of all, we need to recognize the Holy Spirit's prompting. Do you hear God when He speaks to you? I do sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Or sometimes I do, but I ignore Him. quite honestly, I mean, we have to understand and realize if we are His children, if we've come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He speaks to us. In fact, He's constantly speaking to us by His Holy Spirit. And so, what are the times that we don't hear Him? When we are not abiding in Him, when we're not walking with Him. I remember my granddad, when I was growing up, he was never slow about getting anywhere. If we were going to walk from one section of the property to another section of the property, he took off walking. And I mean, I could never keep up with him. Of course, his legs were like three times as long as mine were back then. But I mean, I couldn't keep up with him. He just kept walking and he never slowed down. And sometimes I feel like God is walking so quickly ahead of me that I can't catch up to Him. But it's because there's so many distractions along the way. And that typically is what happened to me as a little kid. My granddad said, let's walk over to the middle field, you know. Okay. But, you know, on the way to the middle field, there's lots of things to see. Lots of things to pick up off the ground. There's lots of things to watch in the bush. There's lots of... And I get so distracted that I'd look up in a little bit and I don't even see Him anymore. I think that's kind of like us sometimes. We need to recognize when the Holy Spirit is prompting us, because He is constantly speaking to us. He knows the things of God, the Scripture tells us in John 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. I wonder if we are truly listening to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've got to recognize He's always speaking, and we need to hear Him. He has the perfect answer for every situation. I think a lot of times we don't know what we ought to do because we're not listening to Him. He's already telling us what we ought to do, but we're not tuned in. We're not listening to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12 says, if others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. The Holy Spirit has always got the right way to go. He's always going to tell us the right way to go. He's never going to mislead us or tell us something that we have not heard that from Him. He is showing us the mind and the heart of God. That's what the Holy Spirit's purpose is by walking with us daily, is to show us the mind and the heart of God. And He speaks to us in multiple ways. He speaks to us through the Word of God. In fact, Psalm 119:105 says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. He speaks to us through prayer. Have you ever been praying about something in particular? And we ought to be praying about specific things rather than general things. Oh, God bless all the missionaries in the world. I don't think God even listens to us say that because He doesn't believe that we really mean that. We're just giving out a random, oh, Lord, bless all the world, bless all the children of the world, bless, you know. Do we think that that's not God's love and purpose for this world? He wants to bless this world. But what He's trying to do is get us to start praying specifically about things. And He's trying to put those things on our mind and on our hearts. And He does that through the Word of God. And He does it through our time of prayer. Sometimes my time of prayer, quite honestly, and it's not always, you know, what you think of as textbook prayer. Sometimes my prayer time is just being still and knowing that He is God. And just stopping long enough to realize who He is and start thinking about what He's done and start thinking about all the manifestations of Him and start meditating on the fact that He's right there with me at that very moment and He'll never leave me or forsake. And I just meditate on who He is. Pray and say, thank You, Lord, for being here today. Thank You for not dropping me along the way. Thank You for not kicking me to the side. He speaks to us. He also speaks to us through circumstances. I believe that everything that happens for a reason. Everything. Nothing is happen chance. Nothing. Everything that comes our way is there because God has allowed it to do so. You know how I know that? Because God is God. He's always in control. He's never out of control. He speaks to us through church. through other people in the body of Christ. I mean, there's multiple times where people in the body of Christ have come alongside me and gave me instruction and helped me out. We are to help each other. We are to be a part of the body that's building the body up towards the head of Christ. So He's constantly speaking, and we need to recognize the Holy Spirit's always prompting us along the way. I think another problem is we don't always recognize His voice. Maybe He speaks, but we're not really listening, or we think, did He really say that to me? I think the better way that we can get connected with the Lord is start to anticipate that He's going to be speaking today. You know, in my quiet time in the morning, sometimes I go, Lord, I don't know exactly what it is You're going to say to me today, and I don't know exactly what it is You want me to do today, but I am praying that whatever it is, You'll speak it to me, that You'll show me through Your Word, by Your Holy Spirit's leading. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray that You will show me what it is that You want me to do today, say today, go today, whatever it is. We need to anticipate that He's going to speak to us every single day. And He's never going to be one of these people who you don't hear from for a while. You ever had any friends like that? You hadn't heard from them in months? And then they call you up, you know, and they go, hey, how you been? You've got to catch up on about 6 months of stuff. No, that's not how God does. God's always right there. And He's always wanting to be a part. He's always wanting us to be a part of Him. So we need to be paying attention to His speaking. We can't do that if we got our headphones on and we got answering the phone every 2 minutes. And we can't do it. We have to be in a place that we can just listen to what He has to say to us. And then we need to analyze what He's saying. In other words, Lord, is that You really speaking, or is that something else? Is that my own desire? Is that something that I've come up with? Is this, Lord, is this really You saying something to me? 1 John 4:1 says, dear friends, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Can you say amen to that? Listen, folks, there are a lot of people standing, proclaiming that they are Christians who are not Christians. They don't truly have a walk with the Lord. And you might say, well, Pastor, you can't say that. Yeah, I can. Because the Scripture says that we are to test these spirits. It's not whether or not they have an opportunity to accept Christ. Everybody does. But the fact of the matter is, it's not a religion, and it's not some stale thing that you have to be a part of and meet all these regulations to somehow be okay, because you'd never make it. We need to recognize His voice. Recognize the Holy Spirit prompting us. Secondly, we need to respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings. I love what Charles Stanley says. He says, you will not hear from God in regards to the unknowns of His will until you're obeying Him in the knowns of His will. Does that make sense to you? It does to me. In other words, you know, a lot of people go, you know, I want to hear what's supposed to happen in my life. Lord, show me what I'm supposed to be doing at a certain point. I want to know what that will is. And He says, well, wait a minute. Are you obeying what I've already told you? Are you doing what I've asked you to do now? I mean, God's not going to show you something that He wants you to do on down the line if you're not doing what He's asked you to do right now. Does that make sense? You see, you can discover God's will only when you're doing God's will. See, God blesses His will. And if you see the blessing, you know that He's putting His stamp of approval in the midst of it. You can know God's will only when you're living in God's will. You know, there's a lot of people who say, you know, I want to do what God wants me to do, but man, I also want to do this and this and this. And so I'm going to do this for a while, you know, and I'll get back to God at some certain point. God doesn't live, He doesn't work like that. You see, God's either Lord or He's not. You either made Him Lord of your life or you didn't. So you're not going to hear from God in regards to the unknowns of His will until you're obeying Him in the knowns of His will. Also, you will not know God's will regarding the big issues of your life until you're obeying Him in the small issues of your life. Look at what Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. We must begin by being faithful in the small things, in the simple things, in the things that He's already told us we ought to be doing. Sometimes we say, but Lord, I want to do that and that and that. I mean, that seems big and great and all, you know, awesome. And He goes, great. Then just do what you're supposed to do now. Be faithful doing what He's asked you to do. We've got to be faithful in the daily things. How are we supposed to do great and accomplish great and mighty things if we don't take care of each day along the way that God's given us? And by the way, some of the greatest things that happen in our lives happen in the very simple times of life. In times that you weren't expecting to be all that amazing, God says, hey, I want to use you right now. And I want you to speak a word of truth to that person, or I want you to go and see your neighbor, or I want you to offer up a help to somebody who's needing some help. God wants to use us. And He will if we're listening, if we're tuned in and walking in the Spirit. Thirdly, we ought to be relying on the Holy Spirit's provisions. See, there's two ways that we can try to live. We can either live in the flesh, which everybody does, that doesn't know the Lord, or we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, what's the difference? Okay, here we go. You can live on your own. You can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's the difference. Everybody can live on their own. Everybody can do what they think they can do. But not everybody lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. What I mean by that? I mean, when you step out of the way long enough to let God do something amazing. When you step out of the way long enough to watch Him come and take care of a situation, to watch Him come in and usher in an amount of love that we could never give on our own. You know, I got to be honest, there are some people that I'm drawn to. There's some people that I are not necessarily drawn to. They kind of irritate you, or they bug you, or they kind of rub you the wrong way, or whatever else. But the greatest test of real love is looking past the things that bother you about that person and seeing that that person is just as important to God as you are. And He loves them just as much as you do. And they have just as much a right to know how much He loves them. And how will they know unless we tell them? How will they know unless we show them? I got to be honest with you. There's been times in my life that I really did not want to love somebody. I just didn't really want to do it. Because it was going to take a lot of energy, and it was going to take a lot of time. And you know, I thought, well, Lord, I could love 10 other people in the same amount of time that it's going to take me to love this guy to God. And He says, that person is just as important as those other 10. And you're the one I've called to go and talk to them, to spend time with them, to let them know God loves them. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us do that, because we cannot do that on our own. It's futile and sinful to live by the flesh. In other words, if we say we love God and yet do what we want to do, well, James says the love of God is really not in us. If we say that we love God and we hate our brother, the love of God is not in us, John says as well. You see, you can't live the Christian life in the flesh. Can't do it. They're not compatible. The flesh is motivated by self. What I want, what I'd like to do, what I'd like to, you know, say, where I want to go. That's what motivates most people their whole life. But there is a point, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you'll open up to Him and say, Lord, not what I want, but what You want. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Lord, not my will, but Your will. Whatever it is that You want me to do, Lord, that's what I'll do. We can live the Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on that foundation, using gold, silver, and costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, yet it'll be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." You know, I think it's interesting that the Lord is willing to save us no matter what. No matter if we continue to follow Him and live in His and abide in Him and walk in Him and stay right by Him day after day after day after day. Or if we choose to do our own thing for a time, God is still right with us. He wants to be with us. He'll always be with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. But to do something worthwhile in His kingdom and to accomplish the goals that He has set for us and the plans that He has laid out for us, we've got to choose to walk in Him daily. It is fruitful and fulfilling to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Does that mean you're going to speak in weird tongues? Does that mean it? No. Living in the power of the Holy Spirit is realizing that this day is not about me. It's not about my job. It's not about anything else other than Him. It's the only reason I'm still here. When you get saved, you know why God leaves you here? He has a purpose for you. I mean, wouldn't it be better from our perspective if we got saved, and as soon as we got saved, we got to go to heaven and never experience any of the junk of this world again? Yeah, that's a real selfish thought. You see, God says, no, I have a purpose for you. I've given you a commission. I have something for you to do. And I want you to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in your own power. John chapter 15, verse 5, "I'm the true vine. You're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. "Not that we are confident in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. He has made us confident as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." There's nothing good that you can literally say about the evil one. I don't even ever like mentioning his name. But he has done a few things really well. He's deceived most people into believing that if they'll just try to do good things, then somehow they'll believe that they're going to be okay. The problem is that's not okay. And that's not what God says. But he's deceived so many people. So many people. In fact, I remember as a young child growing up in church, I heard people saying stuff like that. You know, God's going to look at us and hopefully he's seen that we've done a whole lot of good things for him. Wow. Okay. So what if you've done some good things for him? Where's the cut line? You know, where God, I say this a lot, but God doesn't grade on the curve. He grades on the cross. And the cross says this: you're either saved by my grace or you're guilty of your own sin. Either or. One or the other. You have to choose. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you," Paul's writing to the church at Colossae, "we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to," look at this, "to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have a great endurance and patience. Listen, folks, that ought to be the motto for every single Christian. Because it has nothing to do with what I can do. It has nothing to do with my own intellectual power or lack thereof. It has nothing to do with, you know, my zeal. It has nothing to do with what I think I can accomplish. It has everything to do with the Spirit who is living within us and whether or not we choose to submit ourselves to Him. Reaping the Holy Spirit's productivity. Well, what does that mean? Well, when we reap the Holy Spirit's productivity, what we're saying is we have gone out in His name, we have done what He's called us to do, and because of that, He will bring forth the fruit. It produces victory over sin and our flesh in our own lives. In fact, Romans 8, 2 through 5, we just read a little portion of it a while ago, says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by our flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their own mindset on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Let me also add to that just a little bit. If we walk by the Spirit, when our flesh does rise up and say, I want to do this, or I want to, you know, accomplish this on my own or whatever I want, you know, whatever our flesh seems to say to us, we still have a choice to listen to the flesh or deny the flesh and listen to the Spirit. What's the best option? To listen to the Spirit, right? And not only hear Him, but then do what He says to do. You know, the only way we will progress in our walk with Christ, in walking in the Spirit, is that when those tests come in our life, and they will come. Some days you get tested multiple times. Sometimes you think, my life has been a constant test. But I can tell you this, every single thing that we come up against is there for a reason to do one thing, and it is to get our hearts and minds set on God's will for us in this situation, whatever it is. God loves you so much. I was talking to my wife this morning before she headed out to work, and I was in the process of writing a devotional for tomorrow, and it just was blowing my mind thinking about this. Every single thing that happens, God knows it's happening. Everything. Everything. Now listen to this. I'm going to put it kind of in a mind-blowing process. Did you know that today, probably in Moffitt County, there were probably thousands of little birds that came out of the shell. God knew every one of them. Every one of them. He also saw every little bird that got eaten by a fox. He knows everything. He knows everything that's happening all the time. Doesn't that blow your mind? Everything. He sees what we do. He knows what we're thinking. He knows everything all the time. He's uncomprehendable. But His Spirit is here to tell us to keep our eyes on Him. And to focus on Him. And to walk in Him. And when we do, the Scripture tells us what happens. It produces spiritual fruit. We all know the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5. But when you stop and think about each one of them, It's just another piece of what God is trying to do in our lives. The fruit is love and joy and real peace and patience or forbearance. Well, we need that one, don't we? And kindness and doing what's right, goodness, faithfulness, to never stop doing what we're supposed to do. Gentleness. Boy, we could be a lot better. I could be better at that. And self-control. Against those things, there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Folks, there's nothing that God desires for us more than that. It's to keep in step with the Spirit. To walk in Him. To live in Him. Okay, here's the bottom line. If there's no fruit, there's no walking in the Spirit. If you feel like you have not been fruitful, you got to check your walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you will bear fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I ask you to help us, Lord. Because we're easily distracted. It's easy to look at other things. It's easy to lose our focus. It's easy, Lord. That's the easy thing to do. The difficult thing is to walk in you and to stay there and say, Lord, whatever it is I'm facing today, I don't have to face this alone. I can face it with you. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll listen to you. I'll follow you. Whatever it is you have for me, Lord, that's what I want. I want that more than anything else. I just want to be in your presence. I want to abide in you. I want to know that, Lord, I'm doing what you want me to do and saying what you want me to say and going where you want me to go. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. Help me, Father, to stay in tune with you. And, Lord, in the times that I get sidetracked or distracted or whatever it might be, Lord, just give me a little jar. Help me to realize that I've gotten off track and I need to get back in your presence. Father, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.